690.
We have so many people on stage on Friday night, April the 6th at Club Soda. Tickets haven't gone on sale yet. We'll tell you about it later. That Shane Murphy will actually be fronting two separate bands. April the 6th. A Southern soul and rock and roll review that is going to blow you away. That's a promise and a guarantee. Anybody guarantee a win tonight? Anybody guarantee back in the day? Montreal, Boston? What's the over-under on the number of fights tonight?
Well, it's there, and I know a lot of people would love to see the gloves flying off again and all these five-on-fives and stuff like that, but it's not so much because there's not a rivalry. I think it's because the game's changed. You know, it's there's consequences now that are a lot more severe than they were back then.
But I'm okay with the once-a-while emotional thing because you almost feel it building. You feel it coming, and that's when you're like, yeah, you just knew this was going to happen. But the ones where, you know, everyone's got to fight after a legal hit, okay, here we go. Staged fight, okay, here we go. I don't like that either.
All right, that was in response, not to what Claude Julien said. Andy Petrillo, who's with us every Wednesday after 4:30, host of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050 and getting ready to go to the Olympics for CBC. She'll be hosting during the day. Mitch Gallo suggesting that, I miss the odd fight now and then, and I think the people in Toronto miss Colton Orr. And Andrew went on to tell us that that subject came up, and she was absolutely schooled by Gord Miller.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli. Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
Oh, Morella's is so good. It's ladies' night, every Wednesday ladies' night. Gord Miller in New York, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mitch, and you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. It's
I don't think I schooled Andy, I just disagreed with her.
Well, that's what she meant. Like, in other words, she was trying to have perhaps a debate in her own mind, and she wasn't getting very far with you.
Yeah. Well, my point about fighting, a couple things. One, if you like it, just say you like it. Don't say it keeps sticks down. Don't say it keeps the game safe, because it doesn't. And secondly, well, it's not going to be the NHL, it's not going to be the general manager to get rid of fighting with the governors. It'll be lawyers.
Yeah,
because the liability for the players that do it, the long-term impact on the players that do it, and we're seeing that. We're seeing the long-term impact on what punching, you know, getting punched in the face a lot does to you, and it's not good for you. And it has such a really meaningless role in the game. Why would you want it? Except if you like it. If you like it, watch it. But. Three quarters of NHL games are fight free now. So, you know.
Well, one of the things we're supposed to evolve, right? We are all supposed to evolve. And as I said, by the way, anything that you missed during the course of the broadcast day on TSN 690, it's all available on our podcast page at tsn690.ca after each particular show. But to go back to our conversation with Andy, I was starting to get queasy about it. I was an old school guy who believed that it would be safer if two guys dropped their gloves and got it out of their systems. But to see more and more guys go down and not get up was really bothering me. And then on opening night a few years ago when Parros and Colton Orr came together.
Parros.
Yeah, and George Parros, who's one of the sweetest guys in the history of the game. That was it for me. I said, I don't have to see another fight. I don't care. As long as the game is entertaining and they keep it entertaining, I don't have to see another fight.
But the point, Mitch, was that, you know, fighting is evolving out of the game, but fighting also evolved within the game. So, you know, James Myrtle, when he was writing for the Globe and Mail, did some research on this and found that the guy that gets fewer than, you know, 10 points in a season but had more than 150 penalty minutes, that was a recent development. That's all since the mid-80s. The guy that couldn't play and just fought, you know, was a recent development. John Ferguson could play.
Oh, John Ferguson was one of my favorite players, scored 29 goals 1 year. Chris Nyland, one of my favorite players, scored 20 goals 1 year.
Dave Semenko scored 20 goals 1 year. Al Secord, you know, guys like that. Cam Neely, Wendell Clark. But at the end of the day, if hockey didn't exist and you were inventing it now, would it have fighting in it? Of course not.
No chance. And do you
know, and it's, you know, people, oh, you're a pansy or this. No, I just, I just don't think it's healthy for the athletes, and I think that it doesn't serve a purpose. This whole notion that somehow these players are policing the game and keeping it safe is ridiculous.
There are people out there, and some of them are former players who did that job, and it was a thankless job, as we all know. But some of them believe this is just kind of like a cycle that eventually somehow, somewhere, some way, it's going to emerge again. Maybe not to the degree that we saw it.
No. Because lawyers are going to put an end to it.
So, Mitch, do you miss it?
There's going to be a lawsuit filed by someone somewhere, and it may already be winding its way through the courts. It may be Peluso, whoever. And they're going to show that the NHL tacitly encouraged players to fight to their detriment.
I want to be very clear about what I miss. I don't miss the two heavyweights that, you know, were on the fourth line playing the type of minutes that you guys are talking about.
With a stage fight.
On a face-off for no reason, dropping the gloves and hitting each other really hard in the head. And those guys doing it night after night after night after night after night. That I didn't like. What I'm saying with the whole fighting thing is, A, there's no reason to ban it outright because it's kind of getting phased out anyways. So why make an extra rule that you don't have to make because it's going to take care of itself in due time?
Hang on a second, Mitch. That's a bit of a slippery slope there. Because if you're saying, well, it's getting out of the game anyway, why get rid of it? Well, if you get rid of it, get rid of it.
Well, because what I'm saying is I want to leave the door open. I didn't like the stage fight, but, you know, I sure liked seeing LeCavalier and, again, let drop the gloves in the Stanley Cup final in 2004.
13 years ago.
And, again, how many strictly five-minute majors do we see for fighting with two guys without an additional two or a 10? That is rare. But the possibility exists, as the players continue to grow, that even if it's not a stage fight, somebody's going to get hurt really bad.
How do all these other sports survive without it? Like, how does football go on? And
There was a fight in the NBA last night. Did you see that?
There was a fight in the NBA like for three straight nights, doesn't it?
Yeah. Rob?
I enjoyed watching a fight as much as the next guy. I'm glad I wasn't in them. I've seen the effects. We know these guys. We know what's happened to them.
I hope
Matt Johnson, incarcerated in California, and Derek Bougard dead, and
Stephen Pete in trouble.
Pardon me?
Stephen Pete in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's just boxing has very strict rules, and they wear, they wear gloves, and there's all punching each other with bare knuckles on ice. I mean, I did a game where Jim Cummins got knocked out and had to be carried off the ice on a stretcher. I did a game where Dave Drazinski from Ottawa got KO'd by Fraser McLaren right up an opening faceoff. He was just up in the minors trying to prove himself. I don't want to do one of my worst fears in hockey, calling games, honestly, one of my worst fears was to be calling a game when someone got badly hurt in a fight, which is why I don't call fights. When two guys fight, I don't... and a right and a left and an up. Say that. I just lay out, because if you're screaming like a carnival barker, and then someone gets hurt and you say you hate to see that, right after your voice said you love to see it, you're kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah, tough to argue with that, Rod.
If the game hadn't changed and we were still in the late 90s and Ron Wilson was using three defensemen out there instead of three forwards, then maybe I'd miss fighting a little bit. But the bottom line is the game's good enough without it. Give me 3-on-3 over a fight any day of the week.
There's just such a cultural... Rod, you're right. And there's such a cultural thing about it. Like, to the point where, people will say, if you don't like fighting, why don't you leave the country? Like, as if fighting is Canadian. And that's a lot of that comes from Don Cherry, who has sort of created this Canadian persona that you have to like fighting and you have to like grinders and everything else. I mean, I whether you like it or not, you can't argue the science. You can't argue the medicine. I mean, what we're seeing is that this destroys people's lives.
And I should point out again, I think anybody who's been listening knows this, but I was among the people on my feet during the bad old days of the Bruins and Canadians when John Kordick and Knuckles Nyland and Jay Miller and Lyndon Byers were coming together, and they owned the surface of the ice for 2 minutes or whatever it was. I was there, but that was a long time ago. That was in the 80s.
I was there in Edmonton when Dave Semenko, you know, and Dave Brown used to go at it. And, you know, I mean, yeah, for sure. But this idea that you know, Dave Semenko created all this room for Wayne Gretzky, I suppose he did, but I guess the question you have to ask yourself is that the way the game should be played? Like, is that so whoever has the biggest, baddest guy, their guy can do what he wants? That, you know, I mean, it didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense now.
I think if you had a conversation with Chris Nyland, I think even Chris, I don't want to speak for him, but I have a pretty good feeling even Chris Nyland would say, I don't need to see a fight in a hockey game these days.
I can't say that. I think that a lot of former fighters stick up for it because it's what they did. And there's still the funny thing is, Mitch, there are still players, and you know, I won't speak for Sidney Crosby, but you know, he really applauded the acquisition of Ryan Reeves. There's a lot of players who feel safer having one of those guys on their team. And the funny thing about that is there's a guy who works for the NHL. He used to be a police officer. And his job with the police department was, if you bought a gun in New York State, one of the things was you had to be counseled by the police department. You had to go to like a information session. And he would tell people that if you keep a gun and ammunition in your house, it's 9 times more likely to be used on you than an intruder. But people's emotional argument was, I feel safer with a gun in the house.
Yeah. Well, and they have so among the strictest.
There's still players who, you know, emotionally feel safer with one of those guys in their team, even though statistically you can prove that they're not making you any safer. In fact, in a lot of cases, those guys are going around injuring people.
So you're in New York right now. That they have, I think, among the strictest gun laws in America, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just because you mentioned that, I was. Well, here's an example. And again, I touched on this a little bit with Andy a couple of hours ago. Remember when the Canadians brought up Nikolai Delorier and what he did initially? He got into a fight, and he won a fight with who's the guy on Arizona?
It was Zach Rinaldo.
Yeah, and he won it. It was a really one-sided fight, and he lifted his arms. He did a kind of a PJ Stock impression. He was very emotional. It was his first game as a Hab and all of that. And Arizona ended up scoring and taking over the game. He hasn't come close. Like, even guys who look at him after he hits them and finishes his check, it's like, I'm sure they told him, we didn't bring you up here to fight. And look what he's doing.
But if Montreal had won the game, guaranteed someone would have said, the Delorier fight sparked the team.
Yeah, but they were up by 2 goals at the time, I think. Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying, okay, so, but I mean,
Well,
no, it worked in reverse. For Arizona. For Arizona, people were saying because of Zach Rinaldo's fight, Arizona won the game. So Zach Rinaldo was being heralded.
It wasn't Zach Rinaldo necessarily. It was the way Delorier reacted, staring at their bench after he beat Rinaldo. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, there's no question. Hey, listen, if you look back to the 70s, the Larry Robinson fight against the Flyers, was it Schultz?
Dave Schultz, Saturday afternoon.
Dave Schultz. I mean, there was no question that in those days, that was a turning point in that rivalry. The Canadians weren't going to be pushed around anymore, and the Flyers were all about intimidation. But to try to apply that to today, it's like trying to drop the morals of Mad Men into today's world. Like, they don't fit.
Well, drop them into the White House.
You know, like, well, good point. But, you know, you don't walk around the office smoking a cigarette, drinking a martini, and grabbing your secretary's behind anymore. Well, you know, things have changed. And I don't know that the game is worse for it. I will say this, though. I think the game is worse for less physical contact. I don't find the games as physically intense in terms of body checking anymore. And I do miss that.
Well, how do you, okay, if you want to return to that, how do you have that and not a fight?
Because it's possible to hit someone cleanly and not have to fight. You know,
but you've seen it, you've called.
Take example, let's take baseball for example, okay? So my player from the Expos, let's just say the Expos, my player gets knocked down by a pitcher, and I'm pitching for the Expos. What do?
Yeah.
I knock down one of their guys. So in hockey, what happens a lot is, if my guy gets laid out, if my star gets laid out with a big hit, we're going after their star.
Yeah. Well, there's a degree, I think, you're talking about the players policing themselves.
The fight doesn't solve it, because the guy that does the hit most often doesn't have to fight anymore, because the fighters got so big. The other thing is the fighters outgrew the game. All of a sudden, you had 200. I mean, when Dave Semenko was the heavyweight champion of the NHL, he weighed 215 pounds. Some of these guys were 265, 275, 280.
Yeah.
Like, no one in their right mind would fight.
It's just if we're seeing more and more, and, for example, the Habs and Bruins tonight, Charlie McAvoy and Torrey Krug, and eventually, you know, you could see Victor Mete developing to a, not a McAvoy, but more of a Torrey Krug kind of player eventually, and where this is going, you know, how many physical defensemen still exist in the NHL, and you have front offices being occupied by a lot of the analytics guys who say they're not useless, but they're overvalued.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I do miss that. You know, I miss the battles in front of the net, and I miss the battles in the corner, and I miss, you know, the big hit. And, you know, so you look at a Giordano's hit on Sebastian Aho. So Mark Giordano of Calgary laid out Sebastian Aho.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was his knee that was hurt. I didn't realize he
But he also hit him in the head.
Yeah. Well, did he?
But I don't think he intended to. He didn't straighten up to do it. He didn't target the head. I don't think he picked him. And so it's a tough thing to reconcile, Mitch. There's no two ways about it. It's a hard thing to reconcile because you want physical contact, but it's got to be, you know. But you don't want fighting necessarily.
Yeah. So somebody was listening to us earlier, and they said in the aftermath of all of this, guaranteed McQuaid and Delorier get into a scrap tonight. All right, what do you make of, finally, the Canadiens moving Jonathan Drouin to the wing?
Oh. Well, we're not supposed to say this, because we're not supposed to say I told you so, but I recall us having a conversation in September and me saying to you that the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't think he was a center. Why did the Montreal Canadiens?
Because they couldn't sign Joe Thornton, and they couldn't sign Nick Bonino, and they couldn't trade for one, and they've closed the door on Alex Galchenyuk. So let's make Drouin a center.
So the words of my friend Mike Loftus, my great friend, the golf pro, when things are bad, don't make them worse. I'll give the Canadians credit for this. It wasn't working. It would be stubborn to stay with it, so they moved off, which is the smart thing to do. Like, as opposed to making a bad situation worse, but. I mean, that's a tough one, right? I mean, that's a real tough one because, you know, the stink from that lingers. Now, I think Drouin's a really good player, so don't get me wrong. Like, I think Jonathan Drouin's a really good player. So,
yeah. You can tell Gord's in New York. Gord has taken a whiff or two of the streets of Manhattan. It's on his mind.
What do you mean?
I love New York, but there is a certain smell to it that's unique.
Yeah. So, what, you think it got to me?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you would have used the word stench.
Oh, stench. Oh, I thought you meant my mind went
warm. No.
Not a bad guess. So, when Matt Barzell scores, every time Matt Barzell scores for the Islanders, Oilers fans feel sick to their stomach because they drafted him with the pick that the Oilers gave them for Griffin Reinhart, who's now in the American League for Vegas. So every time Sergachev does something in Montreal, or in Tampa, sorry, now in Montreal, it's like, ugh. Like, that's a tough one.
It sure is, especially if the season continues to play out the way it has so far for Tampa. It's conceivable this kid could be raising a Stanley Cup. But Jonathan Drouin is not in the American Hockey League, and he's not going to the American Hockey League.
No, he's a good player, but you needed a center, and you traded a 4A prospect for a guy who might not have been one. And that's tough. I mean, you can debate Subban for Weber all you want, but this one's pretty hard to argue that it's worked out the way Montreal hoped it would. I mean, although, like, you know what? Drouin is a very productive player and is going to be one for a long time and can be productive from the wing, but that's not why you got him.
So where are you having steak and wine in New York City tonight?
Well, you know what? I'm on my own tonight. I think, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I might wander down to, there's a little steakhouse around the corner from the hotel that I might wander over to. Yeah, go right here. My cabbie's asking for directions.
Oh, you're in a taxi?
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. He's going to drop me off here because he can't go right here. Why can't you go right here?
Okay. That's the way Robert Moses designed all those streets. It was brilliant, actually, back in the day, the way that Manhattan was designed.
It was. I love this city. I do love this city. I just, you know, at a certain point, it gets to you.
Yeah. And, Ray said you don't like walking.
Where would you eat? Where would you eat tonight? What would you suggest?
I'd probably go down, but I'm not. You know, I don't have your expense account. I don't have your per diem. I'd probably go to John's Pizza, no slices on Bleecker in the Village. That's what I would do.
You know where I might go tonight is if I get some energy, I'm gonna go work out. I might go to Blue Ribbon down in Soho.
That's a great sushi joint. Is that not a sushi joint?
No, it's not sushi. No. It's,
so what am I thinking of? What's the big sushi one that's got?
You're thinking Bluefin.
Yeah, that I've eaten there. That's near Union Square, I think.
Yeah, you know what? It's actually not far from me, so I could go there tonight. I could do sushi tonight. Yeah. Now you're making me hungry.
Enjoy the Habs and Bruins.
I will. I got to do that too. I got a lot in the plate tonight. You know, I got a hockey game to watch. I got to get something to eat. I got to get out of this damn cab.
And I don't know if you heard the news, but
by the way, I got to say it now. That guy hasn't bathed in 2017 or 2018. I swear to God.
I told you.
I just got out of his cab. That guy has not had a bath in 2018. Oh my God.
That's why he used the word stench. Now he's having you arrested.
I was in that car for almost an hour. And throwing up in my mouth the entire time.
Talk to you in a week. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Barzell, a right shot, curls in the corner, slips it past Pacioretty, and takes a return feed from Eberle, comes down the right side. Barzell scores! Whoa, what an end-to-end rush. Give and go, he goes roof on Price. He has 2 points. It's 2-0 Islanders.
And Griffin Reinhardt just got his wings.
The Irish Embassy pregame show, brought to you by the Irish Embassy Pub and Grill.